Merry Christmas, everyone. I need to come up with a little snazzy name for the listeners. Haven't come up with it yet, but if you have any ideas, please drop it in the comments to me. Something like the expanded in mind, or since it's changing my perspective, it's always an expansion when we can perceive things differently than we might have in the past. But enough of that. Merry Christmas, everyone. So this episode is an impromptu episode, which I affectionately am going to call overgiving. And what a better time this year to talk about overgiving. But let me give you what kind of sprung up the topic. So for some years, Mom and I go to buffets for major holidays, rarely Christmas, but we decided to do Christmas this year. Usually it's Thanksgiving. We have a particular place, and then that place closed down, and then we found a new place in the area. And so this time we found a different place than Thanksgiving, and we got in at the tail end. There was only two times left, and that was 9:45 and 7:30. So we went with the 9:45 because Mom's not a big dinner eater. But anyway, we get to the place and the food is magnificent. Everything is good. The ambiance, the food was cooked well. The bacon wasn't raw as it has been when I have gone to this place during times. And it's a pretty, I would say a middle scale place. You know, we'll leave the name of the business out. It's expensive, but then again, everything is expensive. So no worries. So anyway, we got the mimosas, and they used to keep the mimosas used to be included depending where you're at. But this particular place, they were separate, whatever. So we got the mimosas, we got the coffee, they put all the drinks separate. Anyway, the bill was pretty a hefty bill, but it's okay. So Mom and I pretty much go Dutch. And then when it comes to the tip, I had one bill which I asked for change for, and our waitress the entire time, so her job pretty much was to bring drinks and smile, but she didn't smile the entire time. And me being the empathetic person that usually tries to read into people's behavior from the positive on a good day, we'll say, just assumed that she did not want to work during Christmas, and my heart went out to her. So we did not ask for much. She came back to take our plates. If we weren't ready, we let her know. She gave us the rules. Put the food, put the plates that you're done with in the front and the ones that you're not, and keep your silverware. That way she had to do nothing extra. Anyway, we settled the bill. And then from the change of the bill, I get her, and now I recalculated in the car, it was close to 10% for the buffet. So she says to me, "Is there anything that I did wrong?" And I'm like, "No." Now, understand this about me. I usually am a 20 to 22% tipper. I was going to give her pretty much the 18 or 20%, but then I said, "Oh, we're at a buffet." So I've seen people walk away from a buffet, I don't care the cost, with like $5 and $2. We shouldn't be doing that in 2024, but I've seen it done if people tip at all. But anyway, I gave her the close to 10%. I just threw down two bills and gave my mom the change. And she was like, "Well, it's customary to give 20%. I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. First of all, I thought a tip was a courtesy. I'm saying that to you. I didn't say it to her. I said, "I'm sorry." I said, and I gave the cash to my mom, who my mom is sitting there. She didn't have a couple of mimosas, so she's like done to the hills and not really interpreting much of what's going on, or comprehending, I should use that word. But anyway, she says, "Well, I only make this amount, and then I'm graded on my tipping." So at this time, I don't know who to be annoyed with, her or the manager putting this horrible thing, you know, this horrible metrics on Christmas for her and the customer. So at this point, I am annoyed. So I don't ask my mom for the change back and give it to her. I said to her very softly on my way out, "Well, I'm a little offended." And she was like, "Well, I understand," because she told me it's customary in every restaurant. Well, you know, I Googled it and it said during a buffet, the etiquette is usually 10%. But anyway, I asked to speak with the manager. I thanked him for the breakfast. I said the meal was great. However, you know, I don't know if it's just the pressure that the server feels. Her service was excellent. I actually gave a misrepresentation. Her service was mediocre because she couldn't put a smile on her face. But I'm not one of those people to expect those things. I was just happy she showed up. And my mom thought she forgot a drink, but she bought it eventually. And that's awesome. So I said her service was excellent. And he was like, well, I'll coach her. But when I look into this man's eyes, I realize it's just him. It's just another predator. And remember, I said in the last podcast, we'll talk about the controlling behaviors, the narcissistic behaviors, of which society thinks is the grand poobah of running businesses and countries. Excuse me while I sound off on Christmas. Merry Christmas, though, if I haven't said that, and have a Happy New Year. But anyway, the point being, when I get in the car, I simply hear from Spirit overgiving, which I am well acquainted with. I am doing my own spiritual journey, and me, who has constantly felt that I've had to overgive to jobs, to men, to family members, to neighbors, to everyone, has decided within my spiritual awakening in the past 2 years is that I'm going to just re-examine those behaviors. I don't want to go from zero to 60 on this, but I'll tell you, I'm in a place now where I'm sitting back and seeing what actually comes back to me. As a tarot reader, there's a card that just simply excites me. It is the Six of Pentacles, which means give and take. And when I look at my own life, I notice that it's take and take, and not from my point of view, that I tend to give and people tend to take. And when I say, hey, you're taking too much, then it causes friction and I end up walking away. I don't give them opportunity to. Call it my sun sign and my moon sign. So I'm a sun sign Taurus, moon sign Pisces. Pisces meaning the most psychic in the zodiac. So if I can see it coming, I pretty much head it off at the pass. Which I don't think is always a healthy behavior, but it is. But the question today that I'm posing to you is, in what manner do you overgive? And I think that this is a perfect time because it is Christmas time. And I have to tell you, there has been years that I would be in whatever store, like, oh my gosh, I have to give for my coworkers. I've got to give a card to everyone. I should have given something to the woman at the gym. And this year, I'm telling you, I haven't done it. I've taken a pay cut in the past couple years, just as many Americans. I've had a hardship. Maybe on a later podcast, we'll go into it. I work for a sales organization in which reversed my commissions almost monthly. So I walked away, ended up owing them almost $1,000. That's my story. But a very valuable spiritual lesson, because it really awakened me on the spot. And I overgave. What I did is I gave business to agents. I walked into law firms, got law firms. I walked into politicians' offices, all for the company. But anytime it came to me getting commissions, either somebody sabotaged it, didn't show up, or pretty much, in the one thing that I'm thinking of, angered the customer. And or fate itself just did not allow the deal to happen. I end up walking away with close to $1 million deal because I could, and that I was awakened at the last moment for this particular circumstance, that you've been overgiving the whole time and they've been taking you, right? I move into voluntary organization and I tend to overgive then. There was like a stipend amount, but I would minister regardless if that amount was met, whether I was paid. And then just recently I said to someone, hey, I'm raising my rate for 2025. And they said, never mind. I feel bad about for 3 seconds, but I will tell you, this has been a path, because I have been taught, especially following the ministry and the Christian faith, that I am always to turn the other cheek, even if someone slaps the hell out of me and it stings for a year, that I'm just supposed to turn and let them slap it again. Now, we can all exegete that scripture in the manner that we have been raised or through life experience, but I'm here to tell you that I believe Jesus, who we celebrate being born on this day, but in this country has been used more to keep people in line, herded into purposes that make others rich. How are you overgiving? All right. I'm asking this question because I believe that there is a compassionate segment in America. And regardless of your politics or who you voted for in the last election, you have your own code of morality, your own code of truth. But only the truth can set us free. How are you overgiving? Or how are you undergiving? There's always much talk about the poor in spirit, the poor in pockets. And many times, if we don't give with wisdom, and this was told to me by a old financial advisor of mine, that if you're in a spirit of giving, you have a give it personality, but you don't know how to invest, and you're a saver. So a lot of us who give like to save as well. We give to ourselves, we think, and we give to others. The question goes, when do you give to others above yourself? How do you, if Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, how are you checking in with yourself? Because really, this society doesn't give you many cues on self-care, especially if someone else is profiting from you. And this very nation was started through profiting off of people. So however you take that, you can take it. You can grow from it. I'm trying to say it in a healthy way. But the bottom line is, awakening also means awareness, and awareness of give and take. Six of Pentacles. So, how are you overgiving? Or if you feel the need to undergive, if everything is about you and self-centered, and I don't, as much as I say we can talk about narcissistic tendencies, we all have narcissistic tendencies. I am the only child, so in my awareness, I realized that a lot of times the most important person in the whole wide world is me, and that comes from Fraggle Rock. Not Fraggle Rock. It comes from Planet Rock, for those I'm dating myself that knew about Schoolhouse Rock that used to be on TV. But at the same time, I feel like I have to compensate that by constantly giving to everyone, because maybe somewhere as a child, I internalized that maybe because I could keep all my Christmas toys, that I should let everyone play with them, break them, and do X, Y, and Z. And maybe I've taken that behavior into adulthood. And with my awakening and my calling, I'm just ringing the bell and shining the light and just simply asking you a question, for this is all my opinion. Hence, who am I to know anything? As I've heard someone say, I'm just a silly podcaster. But anyway, the cards are in hand today. The Christmas music is on. And I'm asking spirit, any thoughts about overgiving? Because really, in this journey, we're just trying to arrive to be like our best self. And so hopefully this one won't be too long, but I felt the compelling pull to come in here and film this podcast when I got back home. And I keep seeing the Tower as I'm shuffling. And we know that the Tower card, for those of us that have been accustomed to tarot, can be a scary card if you're not accustomed. The Tower kind of signifies like the Tower of Babel. It's spirit's way of tearing down and starting again. And I encountered it 2 years ago when I picked up my first tarot deck, and I saw the Tower, and I was like, what does the Tower mean? And it just kept coming up, and then I lost my job like the next week, and it has changed my life since then, because I had picked up my first tarot deck, and I knew that my life needed to change, because now I am awakened to things that I did not see or that I ignored, which I think ignored in the past. So I know there's much controversy around the tarot deck. I come from a Pentecostal background, actually Baptist and then Pentecostal, that says it's familiar spirits. Well, you know what? to each his or her own, but we're dealing with familiar spirits every day and sometimes in the flesh. Okay, so the Tower card is kind of like a reconstruction. But I'm asking the question to spirit about overgiving. And so let's see what comes up. I am pulling five cards. All right. So this card has been coming up a lot during the holiday, and that is Four of Swords, which is kind of like a resting meditation card. But Spirit also denoted to me, it's also a dream card. Like, so last night I was having crazy dreams that was just tying in so many things from my subconscious, things that I had been questioning about, and people that even if I tried to get answers in a dream, I could not. I'm just not one of those lucid dreamers that can go to bed and say, I'm going to dream the answer to this, and then it happens. But I do know that there is always a divine timing even to revelation. So this first card about overgiving is kind of like, sit still, be aware. And when we say meditate, it's just clear to mind. It's that clarity of mind, that gravitas that I talked about in the other episode. I would tell you to check that one out because the message that was coming to me is, as much as we love levity and humor, it's also a time of seriousness, especially if you're looking to make the right decisions for 2025. I'm going to turn this down a little bit. And so Four of Swords is really leading us into a place of self-reflection. It's not quite like the Hermit card, which is more of a self-reflection and research, because literally this person is laying on a bed with three swords above, one sword below. That one sword can sometimes be denoted as communication. When you see like an ace of an ace of swords card, it's also looked at as an ascension card. The fact that it's laying down, I would say that it's not communication. It's no communication. And then the other three swords are above because the brain is always having activity. Specifically, and I am a Jungian, I follow Jung and believe in the subconscious mind and that our dreams do help us solve problems. And so those three of swords is the thought process. And the reason being is before we may awaken to a certain situation, we have to have our mind still enough to reprogram itself from the rigmarole. I never know if that's a word, but I'm using it. From the everyday monotony or our rotary type lifestyles. I get in the car, I go to work, I feed the kids, I feed pets, I do this, I pick my husband up, I pick my wife up, I pick myself up, drive home, drive to work. And so this Four of Swords is one of the ways to kind of come out of our everyday programs and reposition ourselves. Okay, so the next card is a Strength card, which makes sense. And Rider-Waite is the deck that I'm using. Most of the time I'll be using some format of Rider-Waite. I use Golden Dawn every now and then, and we'll have a conversation about that. Maybe we'll do an episode on tarot. Just never felt led to do that. I just let the controversy be the controversy. Use the modality of spirit that works for you. That's what I always said. And don't criticize anyone else, because we can't really tell people how to hear from God, source, or the creator. So the Strength card is a woman holding a lion's mouth shut, basically. But it's a caring way. And so think about a lion. A lion can devour you, but just getting into that place where you're strong enough, but you do it in a gentle fashion, and it's the maiden, and she's bent over this lion. But it's a Strength card, and it usually means strength from spirit. For me, in my faith, the Holy Spirit, and if I had to kind of explain that, what the Holy Spirit means to me, it is the reference of the seven spirits that is before the throne of God in Revelation, the last book of the Bible everybody's afraid to read. And the book of Isaiah speaks of these seven spirits of God. And maybe we'll do maybe we won't do an episode one day, but basically you can look those references up, or you could just Google the seven spirits of God, which I see my gifting coming through that. And that is, you know, wisdom, knowledge, the fear of the Lord, and my ability to interpret what spirit is saying through me and to me in this hour comes from those seven spirits. So that's in a nutshell. So when I see the Strength card, it's kind of like, okay, Holy Spirit is saying, I am giving you strength in this moment. So when we're dealing with an overgiving situation, do know this. You hear much talk about energy. Imagine energy is money. This is how I always explain it. You get $100 a week, let's say, in energy, if it's quantifiable. And in a way it is. Our body knows when we break the bank. So with that $100, you can give some to your family, some to your job. Most of the time, we're pretty much bankrupt by the time we get to ourselves. Those of us that learn how to balance ourselves in, or maybe a little bit better, but at the end of the day, understand this. There is always something that's coming in to steal your energy, either a situation. Most of the time it's related to money, and the other time it's related to people. You might even have your money stable and things like that, and then you have that one friend that keeps calling you up that's always having a problem, that's doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, no matter what advice you give them. If they're Christian, you can give them 15 scriptures. They'll cry, speak in tongues, and then call you back next week with the same problem until you close that door. Those are the things that bankrupt your energy. So that is overgiving. A lot of times we think of overgiving in a monetary sense. We also overgive in an energy sense. And I will say this to you, as I say it to myself, if you are looking to be financially independent, to gain some type of footing that's not always controlled by everyone else, you are going to have to conserve and preserve your energy, because your energy is your creativity. To all my Reiki people and chakra people, I believe it's the third chakra. That area, our willpower, our ability to create, all of those things can be blocked or pretty much overextended to a place where it's not functioning the way. So if you're wondering why, especially if you're an author, a singer, a preacher, you run your own business, you need creative ideas, if you're overgiving in every area of your life, guess what? You're going to find out that it's not enough. And therefore, if you're not wise, you might be beholden to someone else that also comes in to steal that last portion of energy. Isn't that something? You might have a little bit of energy left, and that's what the universe sends, someone to just take the rest. And a lot of times it's because we got to hit rock bottom in order to truly awaken and do things differently. Four Swords. I'm loving this reading already. So I'm part of the collective, so it's helping me too. So King and Queen of Cups, interesting pair, are the two that fell out. Sometimes I don't get the insight until I start talking, so that's what I'm going to do. I do know this. So we all have masculine and feminine energy. You'll often hear a reader say that there's no sex in a tarot deck. That makes it great, because we don't worry about sexual orientation or who's zooming who or who loves who or who's loving who behind the scenes. What we do look is masculine and feminine energy. Your masculine energy tends to be your ability to get stuff done, your ability for action. This country runs off of masculine energy. So without going into the whole thing, it's not surprising that it still selects masculine leaders, because it is perceived that the masculine masculine leaders get stuff done. But there's a counterpart to masculine energy. If you want to look at the Christian faith, Adam and Eve, if you want to look at the Kabbalah, however you pronounce it, tomato, tomato, it is the masculine and feminine energy that comes from source. And so right in front of me, I'm looking at masculine and feminine energy, King of Cups and Queen of Cups. If you're looking at it as a partnership, then I would say masculine and feminine partnership and energy. If you're looking at it as self, that's the way that I'm kind of headed in this interpretation, then you're looking at your masculine and feminine energy. So you're looking at King of Cups, Queen of Cups, which are known as your intuitives. They're also known, the King of Cups is known as Even Steven. So emotions are in check with King of Cups. If King of Cups is upset, unless this card is in reverse, you're never going to know. So if you're dealing with a personality that is King of Cups, that means emotions are under the cuff, but at least King of Cups has emotions. So I've mentioned in other podcasts, cups are emotions that they pretty much is the water signs, your Cancers, your Pisces, and your shame on me for not being able to name the third one really quickly. Scorpio, there it is. You're more of your water sign type energy. King of Cups is often affiliated, I believe, with Cancer. Might be Cancer, Scorpio. Not sure the exact thing. Need to look that up. Queen of Cups, on the other hand, is your intuitive queen. And I always find this card interesting because she's intuitive, but there's a humility to her. As opposed to Queen of Wands, who I tend to have a lot of Queen of Wands energy, and then a broken heart from some situation that I walked in with open eyes, but not really open eyes. ends up putting me in a Queen of Cups energy, because I believe that's where spirit gets me to that place of humility and awareness intuitively. So your Queen of Cups one is very intuitive, similar to the Queen of Wands, who usually has a black cat in front of her, more of the witchy energy. But the Queen of Cups is the one that's ruled by her emotions. It's also one that I've learned that if you're dealing with a narcissistic personality, they will bring out your empath in a minute. And so it's more of an empathic, compassionate energy. And so with overgiving, it's almost like what spirit is acknowledging is that, yes, you do have that compassion, because there is a scripture that says that, and I'm using the pronouns as in the Bible. I know of people, I've been going back and forth, well, who says God is a he and not a she? It's a they at this point. And it starts off in Genesis that let us make humankind in our image. So they, and where was I going with that, spirit? But anyway, with this duality of this they, the scripture is, he that created good work shall perform it until the day that he returns, or they. And so God knows what God knows what's in you. In other words, if you have that gift of hospitality or giving, which is actually a gift in the Bible, if you have that gift of hospitality, that gift of giving as well, then that's put in you by God. The thing is, people that know how to read energy, whether consciously or subconsciously, also know how to extort it. So you have to be careful. And not making everyone an energy vampire. I think we all are in a subconscious way. If we're low on energy, we look for ways to boost our energy. So I'm not trying to point out a certain segment. But you just have to guard your heart, and as well as guard your energy in a lot of instances, and just use it with wisdom. So along with this meditating and strength, know your compassion, know your will to give. Like when I was coming home debriefing this incident at the restaurant with my mom, she was like, I'm sorry that you feel upset. I'm like, but you know that I like to give. I like to tip, and I like to tip well. Like I went to Mexico recently. I forgot that cost of living, if it changed here, it changed there. And a person just kind of looked at me. They didn't say anything, but I knew from that look, and because I read energy, that the tip should be higher moving forward. So you've got to know that stuff. It can't come from the external. It has to come from internal, when to make the adjustments. When am I undergiving? When am I overgiving? That's my cat. She wants to get on camera, but there is no camera. So anyway, the last thing is working. It's Eight of Pentacles, which is either something you're working on in work, in efforts of giving. And I'm going to do a quick clarification on these cards. I'm trying to keep this episode short. So I'm going to do a quick pull of just five cards and just pull those cards just to kind of end the clarification, because we're going to interpret the working as something that is in progress. If you're an overgiver, then it's going to just be one of those journeys. It's not going to be a destination thing, like you're going to wake up and not overgive anymore. It's something you're going to process, and you're going to process it through awareness. Understand that you will have strength in times that you have overgiven, but enough to learn the lessons of the King and Queen Cups, Queen of Cups, how to balance your emotions. Because you notice when you overgive so much, then you don't have enough to regulate your own emotions. And it's something that you'll constantly be working on. All right, so the next row is, it's denoting when you're working on it, a fast energy will move in. Meaning that some situation will come in quickly. Let me say it that way. And it will move in quickly, because when we're learning our tests, and whatever your theory is on as within, so without, once we make up our minds to overcome, be tested on something, I remember in the church they used to say, be careful when you ask for patience, because then you'll get a bunch of situations testing your patience. So look at it like this. Once you make up your mind that you want to stop overgiving, understand you're going to get a ton of situations that will tempt you to overgive. It's the only way to learn a lesson quickly and get to the next level of the game. So I'm thinking of that book, The Game of Life and How to Play It. If you haven't listened to it or read it, it's by Shoal. I think that's her name. Last name Shoal. Definitely check that out. And then I'm looking at holding on to your burdens. I'm looking at the Justice card and expectations. So this particular card is holding on, can be more of a miserly energy. So it can almost be the flip-flop of overgiving. You can start undergiving and holding on to everything. And so what it's saying here, like, you don't want to do that either. You don't want to get into a space where you're like, okay, well, I'm not giving anything to anyone. I'm not giving my time. I'm not giving my talents. I'm just going to work exactly like this and never do a minute after 5 o'clock, because I've tried that and that doesn't work well, because situations come up and you just have to use your wisdom. In other words, you're trying to get out of the programming of your mind to think you have to do it because it's expected of you, or you have to people please, another root of overgiving. But you do it because you want to, not because you have to. So don't flip-flop and get into the miserly situation, because the next card is a burden card, because that's going to cause more burdens. You're going to get more tests, more burdens. But expect the justice. I'm loving this. I'm feeling the energy as I'm saying this to you. Expect the justice of the universe. Whatever your belief system is, understand that there is a law of the universe, and it dictates all of these minor religions that we come up with, the minor belief systems. There is a law of sowing and reaping, of give and take. The issue, we as humans living in an earthly experience, spirits in a natural body, living a physical existence, constantly deal with, is that belief system that because I gave to you, you should give back to me. No, our wisdom is to know when to stay, know when to walk away, know when to run, never count your money when you're sitting at the table, to be time enough to count when the deal is done. So you also know that a lot of times as I'm dealing with cards, I'm hearing songs, and right now I'm hearing The Gambler. So you got to know when to hold it, and you got to know when to fold, and you have to know when to walk away, and you know, have to run. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Use your wisdom when to leave a situation is what I'm saying. And then understand that the universe, and I'm using the language of The Alchemist, if you haven't read that, check that out too, that the universe is conspiring, not just to give you what you desire, but that desire that has been planted into you. So if your desire, for me, one of my desires I'll put out there is to see a collective existence of different races, cultures, gender neutral, cisgender, and all of the different terms, whoever anybody feels that they express their energy inside, I would like to see them collectively come together. That just makes me happy. And so believe that the universe is conspiring to bring me to that desire. And a lot of that is to come out of familiar territories and to stop overextending myself. Lastly, I'm seeing expectations. And I'm going to soon end this podcast with expect. Expect the impossible. Expect someone to give to you the way that you give to others. Expect that there is that match. Going back to King and Queen's energy, expect that you're going to meet that counterpart, compassionate for those of you that are looking for a mate, love, partner, or friendship. Expect that that's going to come to you. Once that's corrected into you, that vibration extends throughout the universe, like attracts like, or whatever else you may have heard of Oprah in the beginning about the law of attraction, when all in actuality, it's law of vibration. So expect, after learning these lessons, to vibrate at a level that you're not going to have to run into a narcissistic personality on the 1st and the 15th, like you may have last year. We're speaking of 2025. Expect the impossible. Expect to be giving more abundance by the universe so that you can give in more abundance. As I said again, Merry Christmas, everyone. Enjoy. And I hope you enjoyed this episode, and have a wonderful rest of your holiday.